All right, guys. Well, good morning. My name is Lance. If you're a guest with us, thank you so much for being here with us today. As you can see, we're involved in a series entitled The Vow, where we're really talking about relationships specifically, especially today, focusing on, if you're married, our relationship with our spouse. And I just want to, first off, give the men a little help this morning before we enter into the message. Men, if you're married here today, or even if you have a girlfriend, dating someone, I want you to know that they are going to want to talk about what's being said today. And so I am telling you this up front because you need to be, number one, paying attention. So get off your phone unless you're taking notes. And number two, you need to take notes. There's a pen in the seat back right in front of you. You can use that or you can use your phone. Because I promise you, what I'm going to talk about today is going to stir some things. And I promise you, they're going to ask the question, what did you think about what Pastor Lance just said? And I don't want you to say, that was good. She wants to hear your opinion because it speaks to her that you want to better your relationship with her. So men, let's get our phones out. Let's get a notebook, some notebook paper, whatever we need to make sure that we have something to say when she asks us that question after the message. You know, today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read a couple of verses from Ephesians 5. The first message of this series, and again, if you missed any of this, you can go to our website, bethelcommunity.church, and listen to the past two messages. Pastor Richard did a tremendous job talking about the first vow. We're actually hitting four vows throughout this series. The last one is next Sunday. The first vow was really that I will vow to prioritize my relationship with God first and foremost. That if I understand that if I'm not right, that if this relationship is not right, then my relationship with him or her is not going to be right. The second vow is from my wife and I, we talked about last week, and that was the vow of pursuit. That I will always pursue my number two. God's number one, our spouse is our number two. And today we're going to be talking about the vow of partnership. The vow of partnership. That I promise, this is the vow that we're making this morning, that I promise, let me find it, that I promise that our relationship will be about we and not me. We're making the promise today to one another that our relationship will be about we, us together, and not about me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. We're going to read a couple of verses here. I'm sorry, let me start in verse 21. It says, submit to one another. So we can see already that he's talking. Because oftentimes, men, we hear this word submit and we think, oh man, that's good. She needs to be paying attention. This verse actually speaking to those who are single, those who are married, every one of us, children, all of us, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and his himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, here we go, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, you and I, because we are members of his body. Therefore, this comes from our verse that we talked about last week, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. This is Genesis 2:24, and the two shall become one. This mystery, is profound. We all know that. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and that the wife see that she respects her husband. You know, before I start this message today, I do want to talk to those in the room that have gone through divorce, because divorce is very real. Divorce is not an option when you came down front that you ever thought would happen, but it's very real. Some of you here today, you've gone through a divorce or you're walking through it right now. And something you just don't get over. It takes some time. My parents got a divorce when I was entering into college. And so even though I was not directly involved, it's still I felt some of the pain and some of the hurt. And here's what I want to say to you today. It's first and foremost is that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The grace of God is real. God is real. His comfort is real. And he's here to comfort you. And the second thing I want to say is, you are welcomed here at Bethel Community Church. We desire for you to be here at this church. And we want to walk with you throughout whatever the heartache, the pain that you're going through. Thank you so much. And that's really the third thing is, thank you so much for being here today. See, it's difficult to come to a church when you, maybe you knew or maybe you didn't know that they were talking about marriage. Whoever has gone through such a thing does not want to sit in a service listening to somebody talk about marriage. And so I want to thank you for being here today. And I want you to know that listening to me today is part of the healing process. Because what you're declaring today is that I'm not going to run from what I've gone through. In fact, I'm going to stand strong and I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to see his power work within me, even though this has happened into my life. And if you have children, I'm not losing my children because of it. And we're here to stand with you and help see that happen. So as we get into this message, you know, as we talk about this whole idea of vow or this whole idea of marriage, you guys might want to think back with me is when you came down front. Maybe it was at a church. Hopefully it was in front of a pastor. And you gave some vows to one another. And you begin to say some things to each other. Now, we really don't know, but there's actually something going on behind the scenes that's happening in that moment where you're communicating your vows to one another. We don't know it, but each one of us begins to carry something. Pastor Richard kind of talked about this imaginary box. As you can see, I have two boxes on stage with me today. And the first box that we begin to carry when we begin to walk down the aisle is this box of desires. See, all of us, especially the ladies, all the ladies here today, you have been thinking about or had thought about your wedding day probably since you were about 5 years old. What it was going to be like, what he's going to be like. You're going to have, you can carry with you these wishes, these dreams, these desires of what, how he's going to treat you, what life's going to be like. And you all, you carry this down front with you to get married to that knucklehead sitting next to you today. Men, we do the same thing. Now, the thing about men, though, is we don't have as many wishes and dreams, desires as our wife does, but yet we carry some as well. Ladies, let me encourage you today. If your husband is 30 years old and younger, there's great hope for him. Great hope. About 30 years old is when I started to become the man and the husband that God called me to be. It takes some time, ladies. If he's over 30, you probably want to come schedule an appointment with Pastor Richard and I. I'm just kidding. There's great hope for him as well. But it takes time for men. See, as men, this box begins to grow. Ladies, it's full right now. It's full. Men, it takes some time for our dreams and wishes and desires for what our marriage, we want that to be, because we just don't think about it very much. And really, this box has many different things. In this box has dreams, wishes, desires of how we're going to spend our time together. Ladies, we're going to go on dates every week. Man, it's going to be great. He's going to spend money on, he's already spending money on me. Now he's going to do it later. We're going to go on vacation. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Both of you start thinking a lot about this. How much money we're going to make. He's got this business. Man, she's got this company. She's going to do this. We're going to make a lot of money. We start thinking about how many kids we're going to have. We have a dream. Man, after 2 years, we're going to have one. After 4 years, we're going to have two. Maybe we're not going to have kids at all. We don't like kids. dreams and desires of what kind of car we're going to drive. I'm never, ladies, going to drive a minivan, never. We all bite the bullet and do it. I did as well. I drive a minivan with my Oakley sunglasses on, and I think I'm looking cool in it. At least I got Oaks on. Our car, what kind of car we're going to have. Man, we really think about this. Our dreams, wishes, and desires of what she will never, ever wear to bed. I mean, this is the no-go zone right here, baby. This thing zips up all the way to your neck. I mean, it covers every piece of skin on her body. No man wants to see their wife, I mean, come to bed in this. But we do, don't we? Ladies, he's just going to love me for who I am. Dreams, wishes, and desires. But we do, we carry this. But something happens. I don't know when it happens. It's either after the honeymoon, a year goes by, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, something begins to happen. Is these dreams, wishes, and desires that are all good. They're all good. God places them inside of us. But what begins to happen is they begin to be placed, really dumped into this box called expectations. Honey, 2 years go by. Honey, don't you remember the car we talked about having? Do you not remember that? Look, honey, don't you remember we talked about kids? Honey, don't you remember how much money we talked about we're supposed to be making now? Lord, how we're supposed to spend our time? All this. Lord, don't you remember? I mean, honey, don't you remember? Because I do. I remember down front. I remember we talked about this when we were dating. Remember? In fact, you signed the contract, or I'm sorry, the covenantal, what's that called? Certificate. Not the contract, sorry. The certificate. I saw you put your name on there. You made vows to me. And what happens is these desires become expectations. And the thing about this box is very heavy. Now, it's not heavy for you because you're the one that has those expectations. But let me tell you who it is heavy for, your spouse. It's easy for me to carry my box of expectations. It's very difficult for my wife, Deanna, to carry this box. Because it's easy for me to be me. It's hard for her to be me. I can carry this box and think, this is the easiest thing in the world. I do this all the time. Babe, why can't you do this? And what happens is this box begins to be dumped into this box. Is something begins to happen in the marriage. And it begins actually to change the very dynamic and the nature of your relationship with your spouse. There's three options actually that begins to be presented. The first option is this, is that this box is too heavy for you to carry. And what you say is things like, honey, I just can't do this. And you start using other words besides honey. This is too much for me. I did not sign up for this. Yes, I made a vow. Yes, I made a statement, but yet I didn't expect this. So what happens is we just give up and we quit. Divorce. It's very real. The second option is somebody gets out their white flag and begins to wave it. I surrender. If this is what it takes to please you, to keep you quiet, to keep you from talking all the time to me like that, I just pull out my white flag, I surrender, and if that begins to happen, what happens is we begin to have a compromising relationship. We make a compromise. How do you know if you've gotten to that stage? You know you've gotten to this or have gotten to that stage when it becomes just about keeping the marriage together. We're just focused on the marriage. Because we have kids, we have responsibilities. We can't separate, so let's just do whatever we can to patch up the cracks so that we can just stay married. And you begin to compromise. And with those, both of those options, intimacy, love go right out the window. Because you do. You go from having a covenantal relationship where the two have been made one. This happens by the power of the Holy Spirit when you come together, that intimate moment when you come together, two are made one. And you enter into a contractual relationship. See, you don't have, there's not growing intimacy or love in a contractual relationship. This is why, and proof of that, is why my mortgage company never sends me a thank you note with perfume sprayed on it, thanking me for paying my bill. Because why? It's a contractual relationship. I signed up to pay that much. And every contract is signed because why? I don't trust that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Therefore, you got to put your name on that dotted line. Then I will do what I say I will do because I know you're going to do what you said you were going to do. It's contractual. And oftentimes, this is what happens in marriage. And it happens so subtly. It happened to my wife and I. And we begin to go from a covenantal relationship to a contractual relationship, living two separate lives. And when that happens, with those two options, and we talked a little bit about this last week. If you didn't hear the message last week, I highly encourage you to go do that. We'll get those up on our podcast. But we talked about when this begins to happen is we enter into what's called a debt-to-debtor relationship. Is we look at one another, and it's based on contract. I don't do for you because why? You don't do for me. You're not fulfilling my expectations. It's debt-to-debtor. Therefore, we look at one another and say, you owe me something. You signed up. You're my husband. You're supposed to be doing that. Don't you remember? You're my wife. You're supposed to be doing this. Don't you remember? And it's debt to debtor. The intimacy's gone. The love is gone. The appreciation for one another's gone. Because why? It's become more about me than about we. You're no longer partners. But there's great hope. Because in the midst of all this chaos, all this confusion, all this, do this, I'll do that, the King of Kings, the Ancient of Days, the Lord of Lords, the one who saved us, redeemed us, and brought us back from the dead, has something to say. He begins to speak and hopefully more louder than you've ever heard before. Because this Bible, even though that is very old, it is still relevant to our life today. And it speaks to every situation and every circumstance that you and I walk through. There's another way. Jesus begins to present to you and I actually a third option. Because hopefully as you hear this today, you're looking at your marriage the way I did. And you're seeing that the love's not there. Hopefully, men, you're seeing this. Your wife may have been telling you this for a long period of time. But you're not hearing it. Hopefully today, the Spirit of God's getting through. And there's no love. There's no intimacy. You're not growing together. It's debt to debtor. See, God's called you and I to live a debt-free, to have debt-free relationships. Let me say this to you. A great marriage is possible for you. It's possible for you. I got to a point in my life, and my wife will tell you the same thing, that we did not think it was possible. Is it always going to be like this? But based on Christ and His Word, great hope arised on the inside of us. And we begin to see that it is possible. Let me tell you, friends, it's impossible for you as well. It's not just possible for me because I'm a pastor, because the same Holy Spirit that lives in me, guess what? Lives on the inside of you. The same power that I have access to is the same power that you have access to. Your marriage can be great. It can be different. It can be debt-free. But how does this happen? How do we get debt-free? How do we move into a greater marriage? How do we take these expectations and actually begin to put them back into the box of dreams, wishes, and desires? Imagine with me, just for a moment, what that would be like. Imagine with me, when you come home, You're not coming home thinking that you have to meet up to a certain standard. That I got to be this or he's going to be upset. I got to be that or she's going to be upset. Imagine being free from those standards and living free. Growing with one another, loving one another. Imagine a marriage where you are doing everything you can to pursue her wishes and her dreams and her desires. Imagine men, if she does the exact same thing. She works with everything that she has to pursue your wishes, your dreams, your desires. You're talking about a godly marriage. You're talking about a marriage that changes your family, generations to come, a city, and a nation. That's what marriage, this kind of Bible offers you and I today. But how does it happen? Ephesians 5:21, Jesus tells us. He uses the word submit. And oftentimes, men, we hear that word, we think about what? Hey, that's for her. But in fact, as we see here, the Bible tells us in verse 21, I think it's 21-22, it says, submit to one another. So what it's clearly saying, man, it's not just for the ladies, it's for us as well. This word is for you and I. And what this word simply means is this, is that I, as a man, turn to my wife based on what she has done or hasn't done, and I say to her, I am putting or I am prioritizing your wishes, your dreams, your desires above my own. Baby, no matter what I want what you want. I'm going to work with all that I have to see that fulfilled. Talk about a marriage being changed. And it's clear here in Ephesians 5 that this can only happen through trusting in Christ and in Christ alone. If you're here today, listen, and you're not a believer, I understand the story's kind of weird. Stories, big guy getting eaten by a big fish, Jonah in the well, spit out. Like, how does that happen? That's weird. Guy getting killed, rising from the dead, walking around. That's weird. I understand it's a little bit weird. But I am telling you, there is no other answer to what we're talking about today except Christ and Christ alone. Because he is the only one who deals with the selfishness, pride, insecurity, and fears of my heart. What happens if I do all this, Pastor Lance, and she does nothing? Let me tell you what happens. God stands in heaven applauding you because you're honoring him. That's what happens. And I'm more concerned about God honoring me in a sense of how my wife is going to respond. Because she will respond, I promise you, if you do exactly what we're saying here. She'll respond. Be like, who is this brother? I like him. Submit. See, men, it goes something like this. God, I am so thankful. I believe you men are here today. Number one, men, thank you so much for coming to church today. If your husband is here, ladies, you should thank him for coming to church. Most men will not come to church. They're scared. I'm just going to say the word. They're wusses. They're scared. Use something else if it wasn't a church, but they just are. Thank you for coming to church. Thank you for being challenged. Hopefully, and it is, obviously. You value your relationship with your family, and it means something to you. And I believe today as men, we would say, God, thank you for what you've done in my life. Lord, God, thank you. Thank you for changing me. God, thank you for rescuing me. God, thank you for delivering me. And I think men, it goes something like this, where you say, God, what can I do for you? Lord, I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. Lord, what do you want me to do? God looks at us and he says, I want you, man of God, to take all of that love, all that passion, all that thankfulness that you have towards me, and I want you to shower that down on your wife, the gift that I have given you. Most of us will say, no, hold on. I was talking about you and I, not me and her. Can I like go on a missions trip? Can I like give money? Lord, what do you want me to do? See, man, the problem that we have, and I'm included in this, is that we are looking for a set of instructions because we love instructions. Now, for some reason, we don't like instructions when it comes to putting things together. But when it comes to relationships, man, give me instructions to follow. Because we're control freaks. I want this. Okay, if you do this, this, and this, then bam, out pops this. It's like a Coke machine. It's like a car. Oh, I got to fix this car. I need this. I need that. Boom, boom, the engine starts. The problem is your wife is not a car that needs to be fixed. She doesn't have spark plugs that need to be changed. She is a woman with a heart that needs to be loved. And you as a man, sorry for yelling today, I'm just excited, has to pray. It's hard work. Seek God. Cry out to God. God, what do I do with this opposite creature? That's why men come to me, they say, Pastor Lance, I don't know what to do. She's doing, what do I do? I'm like, I don't know. She's your wife. I have one. I'm trying to figure it out too. I pray. I cry out to God. I read my Bible. Men, there's no steps. It's by faith that we figure these things out. But God turns to us, pour all of that thankfulness, all of that passion that you have towards me, pour it on the gift that I gave you. Submit. Prioritize her wishes, her dreams, her desires above your own. Ladies, does the same for you. Submit simply means that you turn to your husband and you say, honey, I'm going to prioritize your wishes, your dreams, your desires above my own. You're thinking, Lord, have you not been watching? I mean, Jesus, it's easy to submit to you. I love you. You're always there for me. You give me good things. See, the Bible doesn't say submit to your husband because he's so great, because he's not a pig, because he says lovely things to you all the time. See, ladies, it says submit to your husbands out of what? Reverence, honor, respect for Christ. Submit. And as we begin to do this, what happens is these things begin to be put back into the right box. The dreams, the expectations, the desires. Sorry, I forgot to talk about the house you want to live in. All that begins to be placed right back where it belongs, in the right box. In the marriage, really your relationship begins to be radically changed. You step out of this debt-to-debtor thing and you begin to step into a debt-free thing. See, man, I really truly believe it starts with us. Now, if you're here today and you're a lady and your husband, he's not a believer, he doesn't come to church, it does rest on you. It does. But as men, we have to step up and lead in this area. See, what's so interesting to me is verse 25. He's addressing us as husbands, and he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He uses that word her, and sometimes as men, we get confused, and we think, oh, man, her is talking to the wife. No, he's actually, we're the her. He says that, this is, instead of her, let's put the word you for us men, that Jesus might sanctify you, having cleansed you by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church, you, to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you might be holy and without blemish. That you might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands, here we go, should love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. See, man, this is the call of God on our life. Why would God set it up like this? Why would he do this? This is one of the hardest things to do. Why would he do this? It's because, see, God loves, and this, I know this sounds a little bit weird at first, but it's so true. God loves me so much that he gave me a wife as a channel to channel all of his affection, all of his love to me. He wanted to show me how much he loved me that he gave me her. She's in the back. That's why I pointed back there. He gave me her. And it's the same for her. God wanted to show Deanna how much he loved her that for some crazy reason, I'm still wondering. He presented me to her. See, we are channels of God's love, God's affection to one another. You know, the problem is that oftentimes you say, Lord, thank you. See, Lord, okay, I'm getting, Miss Jan, you can come on up. I'm getting all of these expectations out. Lord, forgive me. I see what I've done. Lord, I'm getting these expectations. I'm getting them back into the right box. But the problem is that you're still holding the box. Because again, this box is a godly thing. These are good things that we desire. So what do I do? Lord, as I'm waiting, because everything doesn't change overnight. It takes some time. I talked about that. It took me about 7 years to grow up. 7 years. Ladies, I don't know how long it's going to take your man. Hopefully it's less than seven. So my wife, myself, we still have this box. What do I do with these wishes, with these dreams? Because they're very real. I'm not saying we have to get rid of them. They're very real. But what will I do with them? What do I do? 1 Peter, put up there for me, Rhino. Chapter 5. Jesus, again, he addresses what we do with these dreams, these wishes, these desires. Therefore, humble yourself. See, it all starts with humility. Mighty hand. Yourself basically is saying this. Light, it tells us right there, under what? The mighty hand. It's in light of God, you are stronger than I am. God, you have a great marriage planned for me. Lord, I am going to trust you with what? With my wishes, my dreams. Because you are powerful enough that you can fulfill them. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Here we go. Casting all your what? Care. Right here. Care upon him. For why? He cares for you. Ladies, oftentimes, you're the one. You have more in the box. So the box oftentimes gets very heavy. Ladies, my encouragement to you, if your hubby's not there yet, he's going to get there. God loves you. But you've got to cast these. My wife and I deal with ladies that are carrying this box and you can see the exhaustion on their face. And it causes them to be emotionally drained and overcome. Ladies, emotions are a big thing. God created you that way. A lot of tears, a lot of frustration, a lot of crying. You feel overwhelmed, overcome by those emotions. Depression starts setting in. The way to get free from some of those things is casting your cares upon the Lord. Lord, is it easy? No, it's not. But Lord, I give you this. I desire to my husband to be this way. God, I trust you. Men, if we're keeping it real, which we do here at Bethel, if you're a first-time guest, we keep it real. A lot of times, when it comes to expectations, it's this right here. She's not fulfilling that for you. Not that it's not a desire, men, that we need to have. But oftentimes what happens, men, and this is what we have to watch out for. And this is why I pray when I pray about my dreams, wishes, and desires, is I say, God, listen, this is what I'm desiring, but Lord, if it's not of you, or would you please change it? Because I want what is of you. And most of the time, men, because of past relationships, past whatever, it's not really very godly, the expectation or desire that we have when it comes to this. It's not godly. And she's never going to be that because that is not a godly thing. And so you have to ask, as Pastor Richard is going to talk about this next week, God asked Jesus to set you free from some of the lust. Our minds are like tape recorders, some of the images. So how we view that, Lord, change that in me. So So as I approach my wife, and this is the thing, as I approach her, I don't approach her in a spirit of lust, but I approach her in a spirit of love and serving. It changes the marriage. Cast your care upon the Lord because He cares for you. Guys, we can do this. My hope for you today is that you desire to step out of this debt-to-debtor relationship, step into a debt-free. See, it happens because it's in light of what Christ has done for me, I do for him or her. What did he do? He laid down his life. He sacrificed for you and I. In light of that, God gives me greater grace to do the same for my spouse. Lord, we love you. If your spouse is here, just take their hand. Grab them by the hand. Lord, we love you. Well, first off, I pray for my friends here today that God has the courage to come here today and to sit and listen. Let's talk about marriage when they've gone through, Lord, divorce or are walking through it now. I just pray your grace and your power, God, upon them. But not a one of them, God, ever thought that this would happen, but yet it did. I pray your comfort, God, to pray your great peace, but upon my friends. I pray that they would know that Bethel is a place that they are welcomed at. If they need help, they can come and receive help right here. I pray for the married couples in this room. God, I pray for grace. God, help us to put these dreams and desires back to the right box. To get them out of the box of expectations. But our spouse cannot meet that standard. And to get them back into the right box. The box that they belong in. And God, I pray that we would begin to prioritize one another above our own. Above ourselves. And that through that, through trusting in you, the relationship will become debt-free. But we love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name.